Hashtag Team USA so white.
This is definitely the most diverse games that we've seen, especially from the United States standpoint, but it's still 92% white.
That's Amira Rose Davis, Assistant Professor of History and Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at Penn State and co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast. Davis says there's a lot to think about when it comes to diversity in the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang this year.
This is a year where we are seeing the most diversity that we've ever seen. So we have 10 African-American participants, 11 Asian-American participants. We have 2 openly gay athletes. If you look to the women's bobsled team, for instance, 4 out of 5 women on the women's bobsled teams are women of color. And really credit to Alana Myers-Taylor there, who has gone out and recruited heavily to bring black women into the sport. You also have Jordan Greenway, who's the first African-American to be on the U.S. hockey national team. And then besides from Nation Chen, you have Chloe Kim, who gold medaled in an amazing half pipe competition, and the Shibshibs of Alex and Maya Shibutani, and Mirai, who skates for U.S. figure skating. And so what you are seeing is an increase in diversity. But like I said, even if you add this all up, you're still left with a squad that is 92% white.
So let's unpack that a little bit. How does your squad get 92% white? Because I'm imagining it's potentially the type of sport, maybe, and also the accessibility to these sports. I mean, it's not cheap to learn how to ski, right? I mean,
precisely. And you're hitting the nail completely on the head here. Now, I know that a lot of people watch the Winter Games and be like, well, black people don't play those games because it's cold. And, you know, and I think that there's certainly a lot of people who are like, it's too cold to be out here skiing and sledding and whatnot. But definitely, this comes down to cost, to access, to proximity, to training sites, right? And so a lot of these winter sports, and we can see this how historically it's been dominated by kind of white and wealthy Scandinavian nations, United States is in there, because it really does cost a lot to get to a ski site and get on the ski lift. You also have just kind of narratives of participation, which I think shapes a lot of ideas about who plays what, right? And so if you think about tracking in school, this is the same kind of instance in sports. So if you see the NFL, you see the NBA, you see track and field, and that's kind of like the narrative, like this is what black kids play, right? This is where the sport that you belong in. And so when you take the issue of kind of lack of representation along with cost to participate in a lot of these sports, which are very expensive, and proximity to training sites, you end up with this kind of dearth of diversity in the games. And I also think that we have to understand that this is not just a United States problem. This is a global issue, right? The global South has like always been very, very underrepresented in the sport. And I think that everybody kind of throws up their hands, well, like, oh, they don't have snow, so why would they? But there's a way that especially we celebrate the Olympics as this kind of global international sporting space. And we just kind of like shrug our shoulders at the fact that, you know, we don't care that half the globe isn't represented at these games.
And is there any, I mean, you know, we like you mentioned, there is lots of diversity. There's 8% diversity on the American team this year. But and those folks are getting a lot of attention, and that's amazing. But does that actually hide the bigger issues that we're talking about, which are access? And do we have to wait another 4, 8, you know, 12 years to actually get, you know, some more change in the games?
Right. No, I think that's a great way of framing it, which is to say that lost in the celebration is the fact that there is a lot of work to be done. And, you know, Jason Thompson, who is the U.S. Committee Director on Diversity and Inclusion, has definitely acknowledged this and said, while we're listening to all the celebration, we're definitely not where we want to be. And I think one of the great things to pay attention to are the ways that you can recruit and retain in these sports. So I mentioned Elena, who is a bobsledder, who's literally just gone to people who run track and fellow Olympians and said, hey, come train with me. Come check out what bobsledding is. Come use your speed and compete for this Olympic team. And that has done wonders for diversifying the sport. And that's a really great model of seeing how easy it is, right, to recruit if you put the time and effort in. And I think that we also, the other thing about this particular squad is that they all are really, really high profile. Like, these aren't people who just barely made the team. They are gold medalists like Chloe Kim. bottom. They're in medal contention. And I think that really goes a long way about visibility. And then you have them outspoken. So there's a great quote that Jasmine Falenter Victorian, who's a Jamaican bobsledder, gave about the importance of representation. She said, little girls and little boys see someone who looks like them, talks like them, has the same culture as them, has crazy curly hair, wears a natural, has brown skin, and is doing these different things. And when you grow up and you don't see that, you feel like you can't do it and that's not right. And I think that that's a great quote to have her kind of say on this platform, to say, no, this stuff matters and we need to put in the work to continue on this path. We can't just be, satisfied with, I said 8% for the United States, but overall, if you take the larger numbers, you're talking about less than 2% of the entire Olympic athletes being Black, for instance.
And I'm probably going to date myself by reminding people about when I was a kid and watching Mary Lou Retton, there was no diversity that I can recall. So that was definitely something that I remember. But whose job is it to make the Olympics more diverse? Is it the Olympic Committee? Is it parents? Like, who's actually supposed to make this change?
Yeah, that is a tremendous question. And I think it's multiple people, right? So definitely if you want to go straight to the top, the U.S. Olympic Committee obviously has a director of diversity and inclusion. So they've even kind of benchmarked it as their own goal, right? So definitely it starts from the top. They need to put resources, and they have the resources and time and energy into doing this. But I think that you can draw the line all the way down, right? So if you're a high school coach, right, if you're a club team scout, if you're a collegiate coach, there's all these levels in which we can be helping to further these pipelines, especially because when you're talking about these sports, so much of this starts when you're young. And this comes back to the access issue. It's the same thing with like club soccer, for instance, swimming. A lot of these sports, you have to get into the pipeline when you're young, and you have to have those connections and have those resources at your disposal when you are a teenager, or sometimes in some sports, even younger. And so I think that it's not enough to just point at the, U.S. Olympic Committee and say, this is your job alone, because it has to be, I think, all hands on deck type of approach that is beyond just the kind of Olympic Committee, and goes into even how we think about representing sport in what games we show, what after-school programs we offer to kids, and where. I know that I live out here in State College, Pennsylvania, and my daughter can get a bus and go sled and ski and snowboard directly from school. But my husband, who grew up in Philadelphia, did not have buses coming to West Philly to pick him up and take him to a slope anywhere.
No, and we don't really understand what that's like. Like, I mean, I kind of flip it, said I was watching Mary Lou Retton and didn't see myself. But I was also, in a very low-income community and didn't really have access to those sports. And I don't think you think that you can, right? Like,
right.
If you're living in a certain area, you might not, like, we talked about earlier, you might not have access to the ski slopes. You might, not know what to wear. And there's a lot of cost that's involved here, too. It's
so
not just
many.
Buying the outfit, right? It's actually getting the training and making sure that you have the best trainers, right?
Precisely. There's a cost for every aspect of it. It's the gear. It's the ski lift ticket, right? It's the coaching and getting coaches in places. A lot of people who are Olympic contenders are able to subsidize education in a variety of ways. And all of those things have a tremendous impact on accessibility of the sport.
But there are some good things to look forward to. Like you said, this is the most diverse team that we've had, right, as Americans.
Yes,
and so
yes.
There are going to be some exciting moments.
Yeah, exactly. And it's wonderful to see. Both Chloe Kim talked about how wonderful it was to win a gold medal in Korea, which is where her parents immigrated from, and feel like that was something that was really monumental. You had Alex Shibutani write this wonderful heartfelt post about how hard him and his sister have worked to be the first ice dance team of Asian descent to win a medal, and saying if someone tells you you can't do something, your success will be limited because of how you look or who you are, keep moving forward. And I just think that this is a time where we can really look to the athletes themselves and seeing the standards that they're setting for what the future could be if we work very hard to get there. And I do have to say that all this discussion about diversity is actually having this very funny effect where people are freaking out about political correctness, and you get articles that bemoans the Olympics for becoming, quote, darker, gayer, different. And so I think that it tells you that there is a real kind of energy here and a conversation that hasn't necessarily existed before, because, like I said, everybody was very content to kind of shrug their shoulders and be like, oh, well, black people don't like cold, so why would there be diversity? And I think one of the things that this time, this moment gives us is the opportunity to really do what we're doing and say, well, let's unpack that. Like, why isn't it more diverse? And we have these wonderful representatives, ambassadors of the sport who are showing you that you compete. We have Aaron Jackson, who just picked up skates and is out there, you know, completely taking names and numbers. And so that is really kind of breaking down a lot of these kind of stereotypes and narrative that we have. And it creates a moment where we can say, hey, no, how can we deepen this? How can we further this? How can we push that 8% right up?
Thank you so much for being with us on The Takeaway today.
Thank you. Anytime.
Amira Rose Davis is an assistant professor of history and women's gender and sexuality studies at Penn State and co-host of the Burn It All Down podcast.